You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. Okay, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have got more content to cover tonight than we could cover in 3 weeks of broadcasting, much less 3 hours, but we're going to jump right into it. Well, we got to make this a daily, man, the way things are going. There's just no way a weekly can contain us anymore. But I'm your host, James Edwards. Welcome to the Political Cesspool. It's the live broadcast for Saturday evening, March the 12th. With us for the entire first hour tonight, or at least the first three segments of it, is our very good friend and correspondent, Sean Bergen. You'll remember Sean Bergen, the native New Yorker and veteran of the U.S. Navy. For the past decade, he worked for Cablevision's News 12 as a reporter covering stories in the metropolitan New York City area. In July of 2014, while covering the execution of a rookie cop in Jersey City, New Jersey, Sean was fired after making on-air remarks about the anti-police mentality coming from the inner cities. Sean was at Woodhull Hospital in Brooklyn, New York on the night of December 20th, 2014, doing a live report for this very network on the two New York City police officers who were shot and killed due to the current anti-police climate. Sean, those people who have brought to life this anti-police climate made their presence known in St. Louis and in Chicago, Illinois, just yesterday at two separate Trump rallies. Let's rewind the clock, my friend, to yesterday morning and take us through this play-by-play, just the facts in chronological order. What happened at these two Trump rallies?
Well, I mean, this is like, the Democrat. This is like Chicago 1968 all over again, when the Democratic National Convention was upended by protesters and Richard Nixon went on to win a landslide. That's what we saw basically yesterday was a bunch of rabble rousers who, are being astroturfed by Hungarian financier George Soros. This man spent, I think, about $11 billion over the last 20 years financing leftist and left-wing organizations that seem to do nothing but keep this country in a state of chaos. Everyone from Media Matters to MoveOn.org to the Southern Poverty Law Center. And he was the man behind the Ferguson riots and the Baltimore riots. He gives these people money. They are professional protesters. They do nothing except create havoc, wreak havoc. And they are decidedly to the left. It's like an amalgam of several different movements. You've got the Occupy Wall Street movement mashed up with the Black Lives Matter movement. And then, of course, anybody who's desperate to dive in front of a TV camera. And they succeeded yesterday in shutting down the Trump rally. Donald Trump, who is now the Republican front runner for the nominee for president of the United States, these people shut that rally down, Trump did it out of safety and concern that was expressed by the Chicago police. So these people who are out constantly touting the importance and the benefits of our First Amendment freedom of speech benefits decided that they didn't like what Donald Trump had to say, so they were going to squelch his First Amendment. Apparently, the First Amendment only applies to leftist speech. And we've seen this over and over and over again. I'm not sure it was a wise decision on the part of Trump and his campaign to actually host a rally on a college campus. When we look at past history and we see how conservative speakers have been historically treated, Trump's case is nothing new. I don't care if you're talking about Ann Coulter or Ben Shapiro or even former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. If you have views that run counter to the left wing in America, you get shut down. And in that regard, we are no different than some Stalinist country like the former Soviet Union.
Sean, let me throw this out there for your consideration. Now, this is purely hypothetical, and we neither of us will have any way of knowing for sure. But I wonder how strategic Trump's decision to hold this rally in Chicago, of all places, which the media was saying was the hometown of Barack Obama, was, I guess he was either born in Hawaii or Kenya, depending on what you believe about that. But they say it was Chicago because I guess he spent some time there at some point in his life. But to have it in Chicago, where you were going to have a hotbed of social justice warriors and Black Lives Matters thugs. I think this was a billion-dollar campaign commercial. Let me just throw this out there and get your opinion. So he knew in advance that there was 8,000, at least 8,000 people on Facebook claiming that they were going to show up to disrupt and advocate threats of violence in order to shut down his rally. He scheduled a similar rally in St. Louis just hours before. Now, of course, St. Louis is well known for their fatigue with regards to the Black Lives Matter. I'll call them domestic terrorist group. And these people that make up the groups that you mentioned, Sean, they found this bait irresistible. And they put on a show in the suburbs for everybody to see, for the world to see. I think this could have potentially been a secret weapon for Donald Trump. It's a billion-dollar campaign commercial. I think he may have wanted this, or not wanted it. I take that back. I don't think he wanted it. I think he expected it may have happened, and these fools swallowed the bait. So, in essence, America has reached a crossroads now, and it played out on television last night and throughout the weekend. If you want your cities and towns to resemble the carnage and mayhem inflicted in Baltimore and Ferguson, then you need to vote for Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, or even one of the placating, politically correct Republicans. They are itching to give you that kind of America. However, if you want the opposite of that, then you better consider voting for Donald Trump. You know, what it looked like last night to me, Sean, was if you've ever seen The Lion King, and I have a 5-year-old daughter and a 1-year-old son, so we watched The Lion King. What I saw last night in Chicago looked like the Pride Lands after Scar took over, with these people running roughshod. And the media, of course, is portraying this as Trump's so-called brown shirts bullying the innocent malcontents. So that leads me to a double-parted question. Do you think that this at all was a strategic decision in the way that I think it could have been? Answer that question and then tell us your opinions on how the media has casted the righteous and the villains in this particular ordeal.
You know, Trump is a master at generating publicity. He is, in many respects, the P.T. Barnum of the political world. And I think that you may be onto something there about whether or not this was actually a strategic move on the part of the Trump campaign. He's a smart guy. He surrounds himself with really smart people. And the media in this country and the left wing are so predictable that you know how they're going to respond. You know how they're going to react. All you have to do is, utter a politically incorrect phrase, and you're going to get some rabid foaming at the mouth reaction. So you're quite right. I think this could very well have been engineered by Trump to see not only how the media was going to react, how the left wing was going to react, but also how his political opponents Cruz and Rubio were going to react. And it sounds to me, based on the reports I've seen on Breitbart and social media, that both Cruz and Rubio may have lost a little momentum or lost a little speed with their condemnation of Trump. Trump has been out there, in his no-nonsense, we're not going to take it anymore style. And, the media, of course, now is blaming him for developing this climate of anger and hate and mistrust and all that kind of, This is the liberal hypocrisy, the hypocrisy that we see in the news media from people who are basically incapable of being honest with themselves about how they portray the villains and the good guys here. Could you imagine?
Sean, hold on right there, my friend. We're coming up on our first break of the evening. Don't worry, folks. We've got Sean for 2 more segments, and we're going to continue to unpeel this onion. Stay tuned.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, we're back with the incomparable Sean Bergen, and it's such a tremendous pleasure to be able to bring him on this show regularly as a correspondent, because he adds such depth and professionalism to the broadcast. And of course, we're talking with Sean, who spent so much time and so many years as, well, I don't want to call him a member of the establishment media or the mainstream media, but he certainly had a position there until he crossed the line one time with a very truthful and completely defendable commentary. Anyway, he's with us tonight to talk about what happened yesterday in two separate rallies in St. Louis and Chicago, respectively. St. Louis, Sean, I understand there was some unruliness by the mob. There were dozens of arrests, is what I read in one report. And, of course, Chicago was where all hell broke loose. Can you give us a little bit more? I haven't had the time to sink my teeth into it in terms of actually doing the research to give a play-by-play. Can you give us a little more in-depth knowledge and comprehension of exactly what took place in those two cities, of course, leading up with the big culmination of the shutdown in Chicago, which I think is relatively unprecedented for a front runner in the presidential field, that a mob would be able to shut him down, reflects very poorly on America. And I say again, Sean, I think these people played into Trump's hand. If there was anybody on the sidelines, a lot of normal people don't like anarchy in the streets, and they're going to want somebody strong enough to deal with it. And I think there's only one man in the job, one man in the running to do that job. So anyway, St. Louis and Chicago.
What we've seen in the run-up to what happened, what transpired in Chicago and St. Louis yesterday, where they've had a very long history of racial strife, and especially within the last year. But what a lot of people aren't giving a lot of consideration to, and this is really dominating the news media over the last 24 hours of the news cycle, but Trump's following is made up in large part. There's a real blue collar working class element to it. They've suffered through the last 7 or 8 years. They know what the bad economy is. They don't believe in Obama or his numbers or anything like that. And so they've also sat on the sidelines and watched as these protesters, who look to be professional protesters, these are people who don't really play much of a function in society, have disrupted events, have literally burned cities to the ground. We saw that in Ferguson and Baltimore. And they do this without consequences. And these people, yes, who attend the Trump rallies are sick and tired of standing on the sidelines and watching this go down. So when these people show up at a Trump rally and decide that they're going to disrupt it, you know, there's guys in that crowd who give them a good punch in the face. And, you know, Trump is, you know, he's not telling people how to do it. He's like, well, you know, this is the good old days when people were actually held accountable for their actions. So these are not the kind of guys who are going to stand there and take this kind of nonsense from a bunch of, you know, ne'er-do-wells who serve no function in society. They don't own businesses. They don't pay taxes. They don't hire people, you know, and generate jobs. So that's what's really been feeding into this. And then, of course, last night we saw them shut down the rally completely, and there were shoving matches, and there were scuffles, and there were police injured. But, you know, these people are speaking for a large percentage of America now who is just sick and tired of watching this nonsense. And, more importantly, they are sick and tired of seeing a liberal news media justify and rationalize the actions of these professional protesters. Because I can tell you something. If it were not Donald Trump who was holding a rally yesterday, but go back 8 years and let's say it was Barack Obama holding a rally in Hyde Park in Chicago, and a bunch of military veterans, Tea Party types, and bikers showed up and started busting up their little celebration, You better believe that the news media would be out there with their mics in their hands, shoving it in the face of these protesters, saying, why are you so threatened by a black man? You don't see the news media playing a role this way. They blame Trump for all of this. They don't blame the protesters. And I'm asking the protesters, you know, why are you so threatened by somebody who's been a major success in this country? You know, they don't adopt that role. So, you know, they're very selective about who they decide to portray as the good guy and who they decide to portray as the villain. And they're so predictable. They're so predictable that they're officially boring. And that's why people are tuning them out left and right. Donald Trump, the political animal, is the creation of Barack Obama, a corrupt liberal news media, an overly hypersensitive PC culture, and establishment Republicans who have no backbone. That's how you end up with a Donald Trump. And Donald Trump scares the living hell out of the American left because he's not cowed by their political correctness. He's not cowed by people calling him a racist. He's not cowed by any of that. He's coming back, and he's going to fight back, and he's going to hit back, and he's going to do it in a way that that really speaks to the rage that is percolating with the American public and has been for 7 years.
You have to have a strong man. I'm not talking about doing anything outside of the rule of law, but you have to have someone that's going to put their foot down and enforce the laws when it comes to lawlessness. And, Sean, there is no way we could have had anybody on the air, I don't care who they are, that could have delivered a more perfect commentary than what you just put forth there in the last 5 or 6 minutes. I mean, that said everything. In fact, it was almost as if you were looking over my shoulders here at the studio in Memphis and reading my notes, because you hit a lot of things that I wanted to address with you going forward. But I want to focus a little bit on the media with regards to Trump in general and what took place yesterday in Chicago. The media really thinks, I guess they have to believe, that they are somehow doing Trump harm by calling him a racist and by ridiculing and mocking and defaming and libeling and slandering all of his supporters with these dirty slur words like white supremacist and bigot and xenophobe. I guess they think they're hurting him, but if they are so, there is a big disconnect from reality. The media is playing into Donald Trump's hands and into our hands. And when I say our hands, I mean good, decent, conservative people. The general public, I believe, Sean, has learned and now instinctively knows to support whatever it is that the media is advocating against. If the media really wanted to hurt Donald Trump, they would use their echo chamber, and they all do speak with one voice, to say that Donald Trump is a good guy and we're behind him 100%. If they said something like that, his support would dry up overnight, or at least there'd be a lot more skeptical people. They have been...
I mean, their rapid reaction has really solidified the Trump base. And I'm seeing that play out all over social media. It's like, you know, these people think that by criticizing Trump, because they don't know any other way. They don't have any other move. They've got one way of viewing the world. They've got one way of thinking. They're not open to any other view. And not only are they bolstering Trump and solidifying his base and bolstering his support, but they're also hurting themselves. Because the people now are what we saw last night was on display was just flat out liberal hypocrisy. We saw it from the crowd, the protesters, and also the reaction from the news media. You know, I mean, it's just what we saw yesterday tells you most of what you need to know about the American left. These are people who are incapable of being honest with themselves about their true motivation and why they do what they do. These people in the news media, and I worked with them for 10 years, I can tell you right now, they wake up in the morning, they look in the mirror, they see an objective journalist, and I have always compared them to an anorexic who looks in the mirror and sees a fat girl. I mean, you just stare on the sidelines and you scratch your head and you look at these people with this jaw-dropping behavior, and even when it's pointed out to them, their first impulse is to go into a state of denial. And in many regards, it's like dealing with a drug addict or an active alcoholic, because the dynamic is exactly the same. It borders on what I think should be a diagnosable mental illness or personality disorder. It is liberalism. It is on display. And the American people, the thing about liberals is that they can never be totally honest about who they are and what they do. So they dress up their language in these deceptive kind of terms, deceptive language. If liberalism was so great, Hillary Clinton would stand up on the platform right now, stand up on the stump and say, I am the biggest liberal in America, and I'm going to do everything I can to further liberalism. They can't do that because there is a failed ideology, it is a failed system, it is a failed set of policies. It does not work, and the people recognize it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got one more segment with Sean Bergen coming up after this next break. Not nearly enough time, but we're thankful for every second we have with this man, and we're going to continue on with this conversation in just minutes. The media's treatment of the protests that nearly turned violent yesterday in Chicago. They're coddling the villains.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to toqonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's toqonline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody. James Edwards and Sean Bergen, our intrepid New York correspondent here, talking about what took place yesterday, what unfolded, the horrific scene in Chicago just minutes after Donald Trump was scheduled to deliver a speech at a rally. We've been talking about the media, and they have been proven, Sean, time and time again, for years now, decades even, to care nothing for the facts. Facts factor in no way whatsoever into their stories and articles, and I have said that they serve only now as the enforcers of political correctness. But what is so encouraging to me is how utterly impotent they have been proven to be. We have been besieged by propaganda, completely unobjective and one-sided, for all of my life, and probably longer than that. And yet, here comes Trump just less than a year ago, and it all falls apart like a house of cards. The people have been brainwashed and conditioned to reject Trump, but yet he is the front runner, arguably, in both parties. So this is what we're seeing. And that scene last night, I say again to go back to the first segment, was a billion-dollar campaign commercial for Donald Trump's candidacy, because what we saw on live television was a police phalanx separating the peaceful Trump supporters who had to exit the venue after Trump canceled the rally because of the violence that was threatened by a lawless mob. And I think that this comes very close to qualifying as a heckler's veto. Let me explain very quickly to the audience, Sean, and I'll toss it back over to you. In First Amendment law, a heckler's veto is the suppression of speech by the government because of the possibility of a violent reaction by hecklers. It is the government that vetoes the speech because of the reaction of the heckler. Now, obviously last night, this doesn't 100% apply because it wasn't the government that canceled the rally. Trump made the final decision, but the government, the local officials there in Chicago, were advising him to do so. With regards to the heckler's veto, the government has the responsibility and the duty to ensure that enough power is there, enough firepower to squelch the mob. See, basically what we have happened last night, what we saw here in the United States of America, was if the mob gets big enough and violent enough, they can take out the freedom of speech of the other side. And that is a very dangerous precedent. And we saw other reports last night. Certainly it didn't get a lot of play, but some of the so-called protesters that have been absolutely coddled by the media were shouting, "Kill all white people." Well, I thought it was Donald Trump's people that were the ones that were violent. That's what the media tells us. Certainly that runs contrary to what was happening on the ground there. And as I said, Sean, the media coddles this mob. And you mentioned it perfectly, my friend, in the last segment. If it had been a group of Tea Partiers coming down and forcing Obama to cancel a rally, first of all, that would have never happened. They would have sent in Apache helicopters and tanks and everything else. Obama's speech would have gone on. But the one thing that I can't get over is that these are the people who burned down Baltimore, the people who burned down Ferguson, the people who went there threatening violence, and probably it would have gotten violent if Trump had taken the stage. These are the people that the media are casting as the righteous do-gooders, and the Democratic Party has absolutely put these people as an official plank in their party platform, dedicating unyielding support to Black Lives Matter. Sean, take that hodgepodge of commentary and make of it what you will.
Listen, what we saw last night absolutely was a heckler's veto, because it was the government who shut that down, because these people, this Black Lives Matter crowd, are supported and they're frequent guests of the president of the White House. The mayor of Chicago is Rahm Emanuel, Barack Obama's former chief of staff. the media is nothing more than the propaganda wing for the Rahm Emanuels and the Barack Obamas of this world. And if they really wanted to ensure a peaceful assembly last night, they would have had Gary McCarthy, the police superintendent over at the Chicago PD, a man I know very well. They would have had that place full of police officers to squelch any problem. And they were, and there wasn't. We didn't see enough police presence to stop that. The police actually stepped in and encouraged Trump not to have the rally. That thing was shut down by the government, by the news media. And let me just say this. That whole event last night was ginned up in large part by CNN. CNN was running reports all day long that we're hearing reports and growing concerns, you know, in quotation marks, I put that, growing concerns of possible violence at the church rally. Well, at the Trump rally. You know, the fact of the matter is that you know damn well CNN was getting emails and faxes from MoveOn.org and Media Matters and other George Soros-sponsored organizations, Black Lives Matter, all day long, and they were helping to gin up this crowd the same way that they ginned up the crowd in Baltimore and ginned up the crowd in Ferguson. They are drivers of this. They create a mess, and then they stand back and record it because that's the only way that they can get ratings. I mean, it is absolutely sickening when you see the role that the media plays and how utterly intertwined they are with this corrupt government on the national level, on the local level, and on the street level with these thugs that have the full blessing of the President of the United States. It is just, it boggles the mind how bad this has gotten, and the people are able to recognize it now. The cat's out of the bag with this liberal bias nonsense. People know what it looks like, they know what it sounds like, they're hip to it, and when they see what happens to a guy like Trump, it becomes very personal for them because his support crowd, I mean, his supporters, they're rabid. Now. They've seen it firsthand. They're sick and tired of it. They recognize that this is what is wrong with the country today, and we need a serious, serious correction in this country. And only a man of strength like Trump has the backbone, the spine, the guts, the cojones to do that.
My goodness, Sean. I mean, my co-host is in the studio cheering and clapping as you unrolled that. You're so right. And this axis of the media and the D.C. establishment is just running into a tsunami of grassroots populist rebellion. And there was only so much, there was only so much the American people were going to take, and they have finally reached a breaking point, and it has been galvanized by the most unlikely of people, a New York billionaire. Who would have ever thought that it would have been a New York billionaire that would be rallying the red state, blue-collar, working-class American citizenry? But that is exactly what we're seeing here right now, and we had a friend in town from California, my wife and I did, and she was here for 3 days. And when she was checking out of her hotel in downtown Memphis yesterday, we were taking her to the airport. She had the USA Today and the headline, Trump, quote, I hate the media. There is a such thing as a righteous hatred. And I get accused of hating a lot of things. I, of course, hate very little. Love motivates all of the things we do. It is not much of a stretch, though, to say that I hate the media. And I think the American people understand, as you do, Sean, and as we do, that the media is absolutely criminally corrupt. I don't think that is too strong a term. Criminally corrupt, and again, objectivity is the least of their concerns. They have a bias, they have an agenda, and nothing, not even facts, will get in the way of that. And in fact, as they become more and more desperate, we're seeing them absolutely fabricate and manufacture their own stories now. And putting in facts,
the ideology comes first for liberals. I mean, they will defend it with every fiber of their being. Everything else is secondary to the ideology. It comes before their professional duties. It quite often comes before their personal relationships. There is no distinction between the government and the news media now. What we have is like, Soviet-style media apparatus. You know, I mean, this is Pravda that we're seeing. This is like government-sponsored media. It's at the national level. It's at the local level in cities like Chicago, New York, and Baltimore, cities that are going to hell in a handbasket, really, thanks to the policies that are promoted and put forth. And, you know, I would leave the listeners with this. Keep a very close eye on the way this race is going to shape up as we move forward, because I predict that this situation with Trump is going to gather steam. It's going to gather momentum, both with his supporters, but also with the anti-Trump protesters. And I think it's all going to come to a head at the Republican nomination, at the Republican convention, just a few months down the road.
This is by far the most lively, the most, I don't want to use entertaining because we're not here for entertainment, but it is the most incredible political drama that I have ever seen play out in my life, and certainly in my career as a talk radio host, which now spans 11 years. There's nothing that even factors in as a close second. I mean, what's happening here in America, America is at a crossroads, and the choice is so distinct, and the gulf is so wide between the two sides. And there's a reckoning. Sean, a reckoning is right over the horizon, and it's going to take place before Christmas. It's going to take place before Thanksgiving. At the Republican National Convention in July, and then at the general. I mean, and it's coming, and we're going to be covering it with you and watching it unfold before our very eyes right here on live radio. Sean, thank you so much for giving us 45 minutes of your Saturday night to help us understand what took place yesterday in the Midwest. Pretty incredible.
Thanks for having me, James. Always a pleasure to be here with the great guys here.
Love you, brother. Thank you. We'll be back with another one, Scoop Stanton. We're going to continue on with this topic. Stay tuned for Scoop. We'll be right back.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free. F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody. How incredible is Sean Bergen? I mean, is that guy just not the best when it comes to breaking down a case and offering commentary? You know, Sean always calls in from the trenches, and I mean literally. He's dodging bullets and all kinds of stuff. So we don't always have the best connection with Sean. His audio sometimes goes in and out. But Sean, even with imperfect audio, is just incredible. And we will have him on with less than perfect audio in order to be able to benefit from his style of reporting. Well, we've got another one now, Scoop Stanton, who's going to continue on with what we've been discussing with regards to the media and Donald Trump's rallies yesterday in St. Louis and Chicago. If, you know, this broke last night, I guess we're lucky that if we have to be a weekly show, that it's on Saturday this week, because if we had broadcasted on Friday afternoon even, we would have missed this entirely and had to wait another week to get our shot at it. Scoop, what do you say?
Well, first of all, good evening, James, the rest of the successful family. Secondly, how do you follow up behind Sean Bergen? I mean, the guy ought to be working for Fox News making six figures, but the political cesspool is very fortunately to have him. Now let's get back to Chicago. Yesterday in Chicago, there's a group of leftist protesters consisting of Black Lives Matter and guilty white liberals crashing a Donald Trump rally filled with people who make this country work. Well, let me just say this. Black Lives Matter and you social justice warriors, you mess with the wrong people. The people in that some of these rallies, like an ECW wrestling match from back in the day, these people are hardcore, they're rabid, they're passionate, and they'll do anything for Mr. Trump. But anyway, let's get back to Chicago. The working classes of all races, not just with whites, I've talked to black people who support Trump, but they do it very, very incognito. They're sick and tired of the status quo. They pay taxes till it hurts, and then if they don't have health insurance, they get to pay again. The end result is that our roads and bridges and mass transit systems are falling apart. Schools are not teaching our kids. Our military is decimated. Our border is wide open. Our emergency rooms have the care and efficiency of the local DMV office. Our currency is worthless, and our jobs and money left our borders. And the jobs that can't export are being taken over by immigrants. Meanwhile, the welfare class get free food, free housing, cell phones, free education, and everything under the sun, including health care. Now, the Reverend James David Manning, who we had as a guest, spoke about a Patrick Henry-style revolution and one of his most famous YouTube clips that made him an internet superstar. I think this is it. Donald Trump needs Secret Service protection. Because, not for his supporters, because if his supporters provided protection for Mr. Trump, guess what? There would be blood and bones everywhere at these Trump rallies from these idiots. And here's another thing. The Black Lives Matter people tried to disrupt Trump rallies. Guess what? Trump fans or Trump supporters or people at Trump rallies, they fight back. Time and time again, we see this. In Carolina, a 78-year-old man punched a Bernie Sanders supporter or a left-wing, pinko commie, American-hating phony. The gentleman was arrested and charged with assault and battery, but 78 years old, he took out this young punk. But anyways, these people tried to disrupt Donald Trump rallies, and were fighting back. That's why Chicago was canceled, because it's a public safety issue. Chicago police said that it wasn't a public safety issue and that they could let the event go on. But let's face it, Chicago PD got enough problems with blood flowing in the streets, primarily black blood. But Chicago yesterday proved that we're not going to take it anymore. And you don't see this at any other candidate's rally. You don't see people protesting, and the candidates just, standing by like a little sissy boy like Bernie Sanders. Two women came up and took over the rally outdoors, and you had a stage full of men just standing there doing absolutely nothing. But for the Black Lives Matter, the social justice warriors, the trust fund kids, and the commies and the pinkos and the media matter followers and Starbucks drinking yahoos, guess what? You better watch out, because if Donald Trump goes to Virginia, Arizona, Tennessee, and Texas, they got something called open carry laws. Now, of course, you're not allowed to carry inside inside the auditorium or the forum where Mr. Trump will be speaking, but guess what? You can open carry anywhere. In Virginia, you can open carry in a bar. And also, they have there's something else called stand your ground laws. Folks, if you're at a Trump rally and one of these knuckleheads decide to do something stupid and they get in, you fear for your safety, you have the right to take action to defend yourself. Now, does that mean you're going to knock all their teeth out? It'd be nice, but you're not going to, because what you're going to do is use the minimum force necessary to make that person stop. That is your God-given right. But guess what? These people are not going to stop. And the media will be there with cameras. So when some 6'5", 300-pound Black Lives Matter person starts beating on some Korean War veteran and he just can't take it anymore, as soon as that Korean War veteran balls up his right fist and takes a swing, guess what? That's when CNN, MSNBC, RT, the Young Turks, and every other pinko media outlet is going to be there with their cameras turned on, broadcasting live in HD. But guess what, people? We don't care. Okay? We're in big trouble. Big trouble. We got $18 trillion worth of debt. We have nothing to show for, except we got a bunch of the recipient class walk around with better phones than myself and Mr. Bergen. James?
Excellent work, Scoop. I want to share with the audience a couple of things. Number one, over the course of the last 10 days to 2 weeks, we have received hundreds and hundreds of emails, all sorts of emails from all sorts of people, let me tell you. Most of them good, but not all. And, of course, that's a result of the crushing media attention that has been lavished upon yours truly. And, you know, we've been involved in, the only way I can describe it is an enraged war with the disgusting and corrupt establishment media over the course of the last 2 weeks, during which time we have cemented our reputation as the most unjustly smeared, libeled, and slandered show in the history of talk radio. I'm going to talk more about that. We talked about it for 3 hours last week, talking about just everything that had happened, and it's been on our website. We don't have time to revisit that before this segment ends, but I do want to say we're going to talk a little bit more. There have been some updates to that, some new stories out this week that Eddie the Bombardier Miller and I will cover in the second and third hours. Folks, we are just getting started. As good as it's been, it's going to continue to be equally good as the show rolls on tonight. Don't miss a single minute of it, folks. We are right in the middle of presidential politics, which is right where we want to be. But the reason I brought that up is, out of all of these emails, I got one interesting one. And folks, I just, there's no way I can ever respond to all of these. I thank you for writing in. We read as many as we can. Keep sending in your correspondence. It means a lot. But this one was interesting. It actually came in today. Trump is the victim of rape, the liberal rape narrative. And basically what this guy is saying is the liberal rape narrative is if a woman consents to sex with a man and then the next day she regrets it, then all of a sudden the man raped her. He is the victim, although he is being cast by the media as the villain. And the one who regrets it is all of a sudden the victim, and that's legally pretty much how it works now, too. So what he's saying is Donald Trump, here's the equivalent. Donald Trump is holding peaceful rallies. Violent protesters show up at Trump rallies and provoke fights. Then the mainstream media says he was asking for it because of his provocative comments. So in essence, what's happening is the mainstream media is blaming the victim here. That's what's happening. Keith Alexander is in Florida tonight on vacation, so he won't be joining us. But Eddie the Bombardier Miller is in studio, and he'll be on deck with me for the remainder of the show. And I know, Eddie, you were listening with great interest and enthusiasm to both Sean and Scoop this hour, and would like to chime in quickly before we head forward.
Yeah, there's almost too much to cover, but I'd like to say hello to my brother, Scoop. And, Scoop, you hit on one point in your narrative that I can testify to that I see every day. Most people in our audience know that I've been training for marathons since 2012. Well, I always run through all over the city of Memphis, through all the street. I know I've run down every street in Memphis. Memphis is a pretty good-sized town. I always make it a point, Scoop, every time I see black landscape people working, construction people working on, you know, cutting grass, I always stop and ask them this kind of a funny question. I'll say, how did you get this job away from the Mexicans? You know, and to the one, I've never had a black yet that did not respond positively to me with that statement. I'll tell them, you know, I go all over the city. You go to pick your construction site. Construction is booming like crazy all over Memphis now. We have one of the largest, the most expensive construction projects going on in the history of Tennessee. And they're all staffed by Mexicans, where you used to see poor blacks and whites. And Scoop, you made that point.
All right, Scoop, thank you for your contribution tonight, as always, my friend. We'll talk to you next week. But stay tuned, folks. I'm telling you, it's about to go nuclear. I'm going to update you on the latest attacks being levied and the outright, I mean, factual lies that are just incontrovertible. You are going to be shocked. Stay tuned. We're going to shock